If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 44, the book of Isaiah, and the chapter 44, the portion that we read together. And we'll ask the Lord's blessing to be upon the preaching of His Word. I want you to pray that God would speak to your heart and to be a word in season for your soul. Loving Father, we thank You for the hymn singing, for the voice of praise that has ascended out of our hearts. We thank You we have a God to worship and a God to love and to adore today. We pray, Lord, for help to preach the word that You've laid upon our heart. We pray it will prove to be a word of comfort to the hearts of Your people. And we pray, Lord, I would encourage each one of us to walk on with Christ. Oh, for that closer walk with God, grant it to all who's gathered in Thy presence today. Clothe us in with Thyself. Visit us, Lord, with Thy Spirit. Give us now grace to help to preach Thy Word in our time of need. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text today can be found in Isaiah chapter 44 and the verse 5. The very commencement says, "One shall say, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's." We can see here in the prophecy of Isaiah, in this part of God's Word, that he is proclaiming God's message to the nation of Israel. God, you see, has a word for His people. God has a message for the children of Israel, and God has a man to go to preach to them. Isaiah is such a person. He is the prophet of the Lord. And he is sent to this nation to preach God's word unto them. Like Haggai 1 verse 13. It says, "Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." Now we can see that this message he spoke, it spoke about God's blessing upon them. The Lord is telling His people that He is going to bless them. And so He sends Isaiah before this people to preach to them here in the early part of this passage about the blessing that He had for His people. You can see here that the blessing is promised. In verse 3, God says, "I will." It's not a promise from Isaiah. It's not a promise, dear friends, from the high priest. But it is a promise from God. God sends here Isaiah. And Isaiah comes and he stands before the people with God's message, with God's promise. God says that I will pour water and so on. The blessing is promised. The blessing is going to be accomplished by the Spirit of God. We can see in verse 3 the words, "My Spirit." The blessings are going to be plenteous because He speaks not about little blessings, but He speaks about God's blessings, that there should be like floods upon the dry land, because God's blessings are great and God's blessings are large, which He has for His people. And so the blessings were going to be plenteous. If you can read verse 3, there's going to be a quenching. To those who are thirsty, to those who are looking for God's presence, for those who want the blessings of God, for those who long for the blessings of God, God said He would bless them. Do you long for God's blessing? What is your desire in your life, child of God, this morning? Is it the Lord? Does your heart pant after God? Do you desire God? Do you want the blessings of the Lord more than anything? But God said He would pour water upon him that is thirsty. There was going to be this quenching. There was going to be in the blessings of God this flooding. There was going to be this springing up, because He would bless their seed. They should spring up as among the grass, as willows. God was going to bless. And God was going to bless His people, and God was going to bless their children. Even the little ones of Israel They were going to receive the blessing of God. And in the blessing there was going to be this speaking. As a result of God blessing. And as a result of God pouring out His Spirit. God says this. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Isn't that amazing? There's going to be floods. The quenching of people's thirsts. The springing up of the seed. But in the middle of God's blessing here, there was a people going to arise. And they were going to say, I am the Lord's. And I want to say to you this morning, friends, that's the greatest blessing of all. That's the greatest blessing any one of us can have this side of eternity. That's the greatest blessing any one of us can have in this life. You may say today, I may have plenty of possessions. But friends, the greatest blessing is to be able to say this, I am the Lord's. And God was going to bless Israel. And one should say, I am the Lord's. And I'm glad today in God's house here, there are many of God's people can say, yes, I have this blessing. I'm glad this morning I can say here like this people, I am the Lord's. I may not have much in this world, but I know this with all of my heart, that I am the Lord's. And one shall say, I am the Lord's. I'm glad I can say that this morning. Can you? Can you say that in God's house? We've been singing praise unto the Lord. We have now turned to His Word. Listen, can you say honestly from your heart that I am the Lord's? I want to look at that phrase this morning. I want to see what this means for the child of God when we can say, I am the Lord's. And first thing, I believe it means that we're God's possession. If you notice here what they're going to say, I am the Lord's. Now I know we can come to the Bible and we can read words like, the Lord is my shepherd. And in Song of Solomon 2 and verse 16, she says, my beloved is mine. And that's a great truth. And I rejoice today that we're in God's house and I can say that the Lord Jesus is mine. But that's not what the blessing is saying here. He is saying here, I am the Lord's. And this means for the Christian, you see, when they can say these words with all of their heart, that they're God's possession. And we are the Lord's. And we are the Lord's by His creation. Because you look at verse 2, he says, thus saith the Lord that made thee, that formed thee from the womb. And you'll find those words again in verse 21. I have formed thee. And in verse 24, he that formed thee from the womb, you see. Now this is true in a natural. You see, it is God who has given us our life. It is God who has brought us into this world. And God is saying to this people, well, you know, I am the God that formed thee in the womb. I am the one who has made thee. And God has made all of His people. As it says in Malachi 2 verse 10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? And so we are the Lord's by His creation. And that's a physical creation. But think about the spiritual creation. Because remember, this child of God, in a spiritual sense, we're a new creation. God in love and mercy has put His hand upon His people. Yes, we were away from Christ. Yes, we were in sin. Yes, we were following the ways of the devil. Yes, we rebelled against the Lord. But then God formed us. God put His hand upon us. God brought us to Christ. The Bible speaks in John 1, verse 12 and 13 about being born of God. Now, salvation is all the handiwork of God. It is God reaching down and saving us. It is God touching us. It is God changing us. It is the Lord who has changed us. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, by the grace of God I am what I am. You see, I am the Lord's by God's creation. We are the people of God today, those of us who are saved, all because of the Lord. Not because of His mercy. And all because, well, the hand of the Lord has touched us. We are His by His creation. He has made us His people today. That's why we're in the house of God. That's why we're in the family of God. Because the hand of Jesus touched me. I tell you this, when the hand of Christ touches you, you're changed. Doesn't matter what you have done in the past. Doesn't matter how many chains of sin, dear friends, are upon you. When the hand of God touches you, He'll change you. And I am the Lord's by His creation. And so are you, child of God. By God's possession. By His creation. But also by His choice. Because you look at verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant. And notice the words. Whom I have chosen. And in verse 2 you read again. Whom I have chosen. And God many times in this prophecy of Isaiah, we come across this term, whom I have chosen. And here's Isaiah preaching unto this people. And he says, one shall say, well, I am the Lord's. And why isn't they be able to say, I am the Lord's? Because by His choice. By whom I have chosen. And you can see the very commencement of the nation of Israel in the life of Abram. It says in Nehemiah 9 verse 7, Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and brought him forth out of the earth of Chaldeans, and giveth him the name of Abraham. Now, Nehemiah was telling a very, very simple lesson. Why was it Abram left his father's house? Why was it he left the land of his birth? Why was it that he followed the Lord? Because God did choose him. God set His electing love upon him there in the earth of Chaldeans. That is why, dear friends. And that's why this people could say in Isaiah, well, I am the Lord's. Maybe I was deep in sin. Maybe I followed the ways of wickedness and the devil for years. But oh, the mercy of God has touched me. And the grace of God has changed me. And the blood of Christ has cleansed me. I am the Lord's. Because of His choice. Whom I have chosen. You had to face it back, friends, to God. Our salvation goes right to God, you see. The sovereign, living God has chosen His people. And you read that in relation to God's people today. It says in Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, this choice of His people has been made in eternity. That's a teaching of the Bible. And in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And when Paul was writing to these people, remember, these were idolaters. These were people who were not brought up with the gospel. They were not brought up in the temple of the Lord. But he reminds them after they were saved that God had chosen them from the beginning on to salvation. You see, I am the Lord's. Why? Because of His choice. There's an old lady, C.H. Spurgeon, told about her. The old woman told John Newton that she was sure that God chose her before she was born, for He would never have chosen her afterwards. Chosen in eternity to be the people of God. And according to His sovereign choice, you see, they were chosen. Why did the Lord choose Israel? Well, why did He choose Israel? Why did God say to this people, whom the Lord hath chosen? I have chosen. Well, why did God choose them? Did He look down upon this world and say, well, there's a people, they'll obey me. They will follow me. They will love me more than all the people of this world. That's why God chose them. What did the Bible say? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you will find the words why God chose Israel. In verse 6, in Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee. That's the same thing again. to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. Here's why he chose them. But because the Lord loved you. That sums it all up, isn't it? Not because they were a great nation. He says they were the fewest of the nations. Not because they were the holiest of nations. Remember one time these people were idolaters, like Abraham. But because God had chosen them, because he loved them. And dear friends, that's the teaching of the Bible. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, listen, according to the good pleasure of his will. I am then the Lord's. Why? Because God says whom I have chosen. Oh, child of God, today we can rejoice that the Lord has chosen us. That the Lord has set his love and mercy upon us. All of grace. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his salvation. But here we can say, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's today. Because we're his by his creation. And we are his by his choice. And what a blessing that is. To be the Lord's. Can you say it today? Can you say these words in your heart today? Well, I am the Lord's. I know that the Lord has saved me. I know that he's put away all of my sins. This means when we say this that we're God's possession. I am the Lord's. This also means that there's been a great purchase. These words could not be uttered because this people were far away from God. And we find in the Bible that they have been purchased by God. That's why you find the terms in verse 22. He says at the end of verse 22, listen, for I have redeemed thee. In verse 23, he says near the end of that verse, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. In verse 24, you'll find the words, thy redeemer. And verse 6, you'll find the words, his redeemer. And here we find redemption in this statement. And one will say, well, I am the Lord's. And why can they say, I am the Lord's? Because of a great purchase. Because God says, listen, I have redeemed thee. I am thy redeemer. That's what God is saying. The Christian is the Lord because they've been redeemed. And I want you to say this. It's a personal redemption. Look at verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me. Listen, for I have redeemed thee. God says, I have done this. It is not left with man to redeem himself. It is not left with the angels to redeem him. It is not left with the prophets to redeem. But God says, listen, I have redeemed thee. God has done this himself. That's why we can say we are the Lord's. Because God has personally redeemed us himself. And the price of redemption, the Lord had to pay the highest price of all to redeem us. And I want to say that again. The Lord paid the highest price to redeem us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Peter, writing in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, he reminded the people that they were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Peter was writing to this people. And he was reminding them about their redemption. Now, how were they redeemed? How were they bought back from sin and Satan? How were they brought into the family of God? By the blood of Jesus. And dear friends, that's the highest price of all. This great purchase that God has done for his people. Redeemed. He says, I am thy redeemer. I have redeemed thee. How has God redeemed us? How has God bought us back? Now we're God's possession. Because of a great purchase. Because of the blood of Christ. And that's why we always preach the blood in this pulpit. That's why it's really up at the back of this pulpit. We preach Christ crucified. We cannot deny the blood. We cannot, dear friends, forget about the blood of Christ. Because the Bible reminds us that God is our Redeemer and that God has redeemed us by the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He came. That's why the Lord Jesus suffered upon the cross. That's why, dear friends, He shed His blood. Nothing but the blood could redeem us. God wanted a people from Himself, and He paid the highest price. And the highest price was the blood of His Son. As Matthew Henry said, the blood of Jesus Christ is the only price of man's redemption. And listen, the only price. You see, friends, we were singing Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Listen, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're not redeemed by silver. We're not redeemed by gold. We're not redeemed by religion or by works. But with the precious, precious blood of Christ, you see. I am the Lord's. Why? Because of God's great purchase. He says, I have redeemed thee. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, he says, Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Not wonderful. Child of God, rejoice. You're God's. He's paid the price. The price has been paid for your sin. The price has been paid for our release from Satan and from sin and from death. And one shall say, well, I am the Lord's, because we have been redeemed. That's why we should be singing with all of our heart this morning. That's why we should be praising God when we come to sing, Redeemed, How I Love, to proclaim it. The blood of Christ has redeemed us. And that's why we can say, I am the Lord's. And that's the only reason we can say it. The only reason any one of us here in this house tonight, the only reason that any of God's people all across the world can say these words, I am the Lord's, because of the blood of Christ. The hymn writer said, well, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Oh, I am the Lord's. I'm glad we know Christ today. Isn't it good to know that we're covered by the blood? That the blood of Christ has been shed. He's put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That debt has been paid. And I am the Lord's. We should rejoice in that. Can I say thirdly? It means also this. There should be a good profession in the life of the Christian. Notice what it says. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Now, if one belongs to the Lord, clearly we can see this. They should profess it. Now, he says, one shall say, I am the Lord's. I meet people sometimes when I'm doing door-to-door work, and when I ask them, well, are you saved? They nearly tell me to mind my own business. They say, well, it's a personal thing. It's personal, you know. It's not a bit. It's his person getting saved, but it's not private. And if one is the Lord's, what are you going to do about it? Just keep it to themselves. But that's not the teaching of the Bible. If I am the Lord's, what does one shall say? They're going to say it. They're going to proclaim it. They're going to preach it. They're going to testify it, that they belong to the Lord. They're going to say it, you see. And if I am the Lord's, there has to be this good profession. That I belong to the Lord. And they should profess it boldly. This should be the profession that falls from the lips of all of His people. With great boldness. Sometimes we're afraid to let people know that we're the Lord's. We'll be not singing Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend. And maybe, dear friend, you're working among unsaved. And that's hard. I want to say that. It's not easy. But I want to say this. You stand up and say, I'm the Lord's. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend. on whom all our hopes depend.
Don't be ashamed of Christ.
We shall be blessed with our life. They shall see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And we shall glorify our professors with our lips. That I'm the Lord's. You see there in verse 8, know what he says? You're even my witnesses. In verse 21, thou art my servant. Listen, we are his witnesses. We are his servant. Now, what do we do if we're a witness? Well, we tell it out. We speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I am the Lord's, what? These people are going, one shall say. They're going to go out onto the street. They're going to meet their neighbours. They're going to meet their friends. And they're going to say, well, by the way, I want to tell you something. I'm the Lord's. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we should say it boldly. You know something? The world's not a bit afraid to tell us what they believe in. They're not a bit afraid to boast about their sin when you go to work tomorrow morning, where they've been. And yet God's people are mute. God's people are silent. You could say, well, I wasn't out in those places, but I tell you where I was. I was in church. And there's a boy from County Armagh, I preached, and he preached about being the Lord's, and I'm the Lord's, and I got saved, and I'm happy, and I'm redeemed, and I'm on my way to heaven. You see, dear friends, with boldness, we should do it boldly. Let people see in your life that you're the Lord's. Let them see it, that you belong to Christ. As I say in that hymn, that Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of them whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days. May we never be ashamed to own our Lord. One shall say, I am the Lord. This group of Isaac, they should do it boldly. They should do it confidently. Listen to the words, I am the Lord's. Now, there's no room for doubt here in the words of this testament. They're not saying, well, I hope I am, I think I am. But one shall say now, I am the Lord's. See, confidently, they can say these things, that I am the Lord's. Maybe some of God's people here have doubts. And we all get them. And we've all had them. How do we know that we're really saved? Listen, the Bible. You cannot move away from the Word of God. These things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. Listen, the Bible. And if you have no assurance this morning, then you need to get to the Bible. And you need to read the promise of God. And you'll find the promise after promise after promise in the Word of God. God promising to His people, I give unto them everlasting life, and they'll never perish. And you'll know that you're saved. And then you'll be able to say confidently, listen, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's, you see. I know over in England we had a friend last week, and Mr. Rodney Cruz with us. There's a wee Baptist chapel called Black Boys. It doesn't mean they're all black in it, but that's the name of the chapel. And if you met them, I met some doing door-to-door work, and he used to knock the door and says, well, I go to Black Boys, Strict Baptist Chapel. Oh, I said, that's great. Are you saved yourself now? Well, I trust so. And that's every one of them says. I trust so. Dear friends, no doubt in this here. One shall say, listen, I am the Lord's. It's great to have that confidence. And you can have it. You can be assured that you're saved by depending upon the word of the living God. And we should profess this confidently and joyfully. Remember, this is the greatest thing that you will ever be able to say. Let us not go around with our face as along as a plank and say, well, I am the Lord. You put people off. You put people off salvation and off the Lord. Going about. There's some people, as I said one time, believes that holiness is measured by the length of your face. And that's not true at all. We have to rejoice in the Lord. Listen, I am the Lord's. We should say it joyfully. In Luke 24, verse 52, talks about disciples returned to Jerusalem. Listen, with great joy. With great joy. They're going back.
They know that Christ has died for them. They know that He's alive forevermore. And they're going back into Jerusalem with great joy. And they're proclaiming before all the people, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's.
And you and I should profess it joyfully. I am the Lord's. You know, it's great to be saved. There's not one of God's people would change that this morning, would you? Would you change your salvation with the world again? Not if He gave us the whole world. We wouldn't change anything. Wouldn't change a thing, you see. Once we were lost, held in sin, heading down towards hell, and the Lord saved us by His grace. And I tell you this, we're happy. Unsaved, are you happy? Are you happy? You're not saved. Well, that's me. Are you happy? Are you happy in your life? Are you happy the way things are going? Are you happy with the fact that you'll be lost for all eternity? Are you happy? Are you happy with your life? I know a man one time, and anybody he heard about getting saved, and he used to say, tell me this, are you happy? And he heard of somebody else getting saved, and he spoke to them, and he used to say, well, are you happy? And I was met a fellow one day, and he's saying, well, I was saved, and I was talking to so and so. I said, tell me this, did he ask you, are you happy? He said he did. Because he's not happy. He's not happy. Oh, dear friends, rejoice in the Lord. I am the Lord's. Joyfully. Happy is that people that is such a case. Happy is that people, listen, whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144, verse 15. In verse 23, it tells us about nature. Sing, O ye heavens, the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. And creation is called to rejoice. And God is calling upon the heavens and the trees and everything to rejoice and to praise the Lord. Listen, if creation is called upon to rejoice, then should you and I? Should you and I? We're the ones who have been redeemed. Oh, dear friends, we should do it joyfully. Old Billy Bray was such a person. He used to complain about Billy Bray that he made too much noise in the worship. Now, I don't know what he did, but you can read all about him singing and going about. And Billy Bray said, the devil would rather see us doubting than shouting. He rejoiced in the Lord with all of his hearts. This group of fishing shall be done constantly. One shall say, I am the Lord. This is the continual witness of his people. Yes, I had to say it once and that's it. But continually, as opportunity arises, we should say it daily. I am the Lord. In Psalm 34, in verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the psalmist was the Lord's. He knew he was saved. He realized he was washed in the blood of Christ. And he says, well, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to praise Him forever and forever. We should do it constantly. Oh, dear child of God, listen, are you a witness for Christ? Do you say, I am the Lord's? I know sometimes not easy. Don't get me wrong on that. But we should say it. Let people know that I belong to Jesus. Never be ashamed to stand for the Lord and for His cause. Just tell them how you were saved. Tell them why you don't go to the places of the world that they go to. I am the Lord. One shall say it. Do you say it? Are you a witness for our Lord? We should be. Can I say lastly, this means for the Christian a glorious prospect. And you can see in verse 22 in relation to forgiveness. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins return unto me. You see, all sins are forgiven. Because we are the Lord, all sins are blotted out. That's what he's saying. Over in New York, there's a headstone. And on the headstone, there was one word. And there was this word here, forgiven. That's all it said. Forgiven, friends. You see, if you are the Lord's, you're forgiven. Some of God's people run about with guilt of things in the past. Listen, when you're the Lord's, all sin is gone.
washed away in the blood of Christ. And here's a headstone in New York, and this word was written on it, forgiven.
All our sins are forgiven. You have it there in relation to forgetfulness in verse 21. In verse 21, Thou art my servant, I have formed thee. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. You'll not be forgotten, but God will watch over his people. Thou shalt not be forgotten. In relation to fear, he said in verse 2, fear not. We should not fear anything. In our feebleness, in verse 2, he says, which will help thee. And concerning the future, in verses 26 to 28, you can read about how God is going to build up again Jerusalem and bring great blessings and put the people back in their own land. And why was God going to do all of these things? Because of the Lord's. Because of his. And oh, child of God, I'm glad that my sins are all forgiven. I'm glad that I'll never be forgotten by God. I will not forget thee, he says. I'm glad, he says to me, I am his people, that I should not fear, that he will help me on the great future. Because the Bible tells us about God will bring all his people into the kingdom of heaven, and they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. And why will this be so? Because I am the Lord's. I am the Lord, you know. And I'm going home to heaven. And we want you there. There's people here this morning that cannot say this. They have to say, well, I'm not the Lord's. I'm not the Lord's. And that's sad for the people of God that you're not saved. Well, we can rejoice we are the Lord's, but you're not. We want you to be saved. We want you to turn away from your sin. And we want you to come to Christ. And then you'll be able to say, I am the Lord's. That God will touch your heart. That you'll turn from your sin today. That you will trust Christ and God's people. That you would rejoice in the Lord. I am the Lord's. That's the greatest blessing in this world. The greatest peace you'll ever have in this world. The greatest possession you'll ever have is, I am the Lord's. And he is mine forever. And forever. Can you say it? Can you say it with all your heart? Can you say it with great boldness? Do you proclaim it to those around you? That I am the Lord's, and he is mine forever. May we as God's people rejoice in him. May we thank him. May we praise him. If you're not saved, we trust that you will come today, and you will trust the Lord with all your heart. Be saved and washed in the blood of Christ. Then you too will be able to say, I am the Lord's, and I'm his forever and forever. May God write his word upon our hearts. Let's all pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word and for the message to our hearts. We pray you write upon the hearts of your people. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort of thy word, that I am the Lord's because of thy great love, redeeming love in the person of Christ. We pray for those who's not saved, that they'll be saved. And terrible thing, Father, to say this morning in thy presence, I am not the Lord's. Lord, cause them to turn. Cause them to come to thee and be saved by thy grace and mercy. Take us our separate ways to our homes in safety, and bless us this Lord's day in Jesus' name. Amen.